It's time now for Jersey Shore Spotlight on WBNJ. Jersey Shore Spotlight is the weekly program that brings you closer to the people and places who shape our communities.
It's Jersey Shore Spotlight, and here on the program, we like to talk about not only some of the great events and different functions happening at the Jersey Shore, but also the things that affect our lives here at the Jersey Shore. And I'm happy to have on the phone with us today Dr. Bob Stern from Save Long Beach Island. And we're going to talk about something that I'm sure everybody has seen some signs around. And that topic for today is wind energy and its effect on Long Beach Island. So, Bob, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to try to explain all this, because it is kind of difficult and complicated, so I'll try to present things as clear as I can. First, let me just say the group I represent, Save Long Beach Island, right now comprises over 4,000 persons and businesses. And we're strictly a nonprofit, nonpartisan group. We're not opposed to offshore wind energy in general, but just are concerned with the way some of these projects are being sited, and particularly the one off of Long Beach Island. That project, for those who are not familiar with it, would consist of 357 wind turbines. They would run the entire length of Long Beach Island, and they would be seen not only from Long Beach Island, but from areas further south, like Brigantine and Ocean City. These particular turbines are their newer ones. They're very large.
That was going to be one of my questions. You know, first of all, I don't mean to cut you off there, but I'm blown away by the fact that you just said over 300 turbines going offshore. And when I think of these, you know, wind turbines, I'm thinking of what we see on our way to Atlantic City. You know, yeah. They don't look that big,
right? Yeah, no, you see a few. I think those are on land. I think those are only maybe a couple of hundred feet high. These will be up to 1,046 feet tall.
Wow.
That's above the water line. So, it's even hard to imagine these things. For some of us, that's like 3 football fields high, and, you know, 1 football field is enough to run, I would think. But these are huge. They are the newer turbines, and the turbines here are also called, they're gearbox turbines, which makes them noisier underwater than some of the newer turbines, which are direct drive turbines. And that has some implications for impacts on endangered whales that run by this area. But let me just say, there was some confusion about the number of turbines, because the company divided the project up into 3 parts. And so they started with the first project, which was sort of in the southern part of LBI, but the full project will consist of 3 projects, and that will run up the entire coast of LBI. Notwithstanding what anyone may have heard, these turbines will be clearly visible from the shore. They're starting 9 miles offshore, which is the closest anywhere in the world where these size turbines are being sited. Overseas in Europe, they're siting actually similar but smaller projects 40 miles offshore. They don't site any of these projects close to shore, which frankly, causes concern, because it seems like the companies that are doing this overseas, they are respecting the interests of the shore communities in Great Britain and France and so on. But when they come over here, we're not getting that same consideration. So part of our concern with this project is its extreme closeness to shore, and we basically have recommended that it be pushed further out. Let me mention some other impacts of that proximity and that closeness, because I don't think they get enough attention. In addition to the visibility, the visible impact, you're going to see reduced wind at the shore, reduced breezes, reduced waves, higher temperatures, and higher humidity. And the reason for that is that these wind turbines are extracting, or they're taking away, the normal wind effects that we would see at the shore. So it isn't just the visible impact that we're dealing with here. There are other impacts as well. And our concern has been, and still is, that this isn't going to be a matter of, you know, maybe just a few rentals lost, or maybe a few fewer people will come to visit. But we're concerned this is actually going to destroy the experience of coming to the shore and enjoying it. And then, as we got more into this project, we realized that there were other concerns as well. We have a critically endangered whale, the North Atlantic right whale, that migrates just off this lease area, and that whale is going to be impacted by the noise from these turbines. And we're concerned that the migration of that whale could be significantly interfered with, or potentially even blocked, which obviously is not good for that whale. And then we found out that the inner part of the lease area has some defense implications, that the Department of Defense has labeled that inner part an exclusion zone for defense purposes. And we don't exactly know what that means. It might be some classified material. But again, this doesn't look like a smart place to try to put wind turbines. So all in all, you know, what we've tried to do here is not oppose, you know, wind energy, but just suggest that the turbines be placed in a more sensible area. And the area we focused on is an area right off Long Beach Island, but it starts about 31, 32 miles out, and it's called the Hudson South area. And the federal government is actually proceeding to lease there and to pursue wind energy development there. So we felt that would be a good solution for New Jersey. You could put the wind turbines further out. You can still have a very good, strong wind energy program, and the shore would not be impacted. So from the very beginning, that's what we proposed. And recently, we found out kind of a reason why we weren't getting support for that, because from our standpoint, it made perfect sense. And we found out that one of the reasons for that is that the power from that Hudson South area may be destined for New York instead of New Jersey. And that kind of astounded us, and we are pursuing this with the state and with the federal government, because it just doesn't make sense if you have a good site off New Jersey, why you would want to run that power all the way up the coast and give it to New York. So there's a lot of facets to this problem, but we continue to just focus on trying to get the turbines placed in a sensible area. We believe that this particular site was not chosen properly. It did not receive, when it was selected, which was over 10 years ago, did not receive the proper public input or attention. And we have actually filed one lawsuit contending that the selection of this site was not done legally. And we're waiting to see what the judge says on that.
So for those just now tuning in to Jersey Shore Spotlight, this week our guest is Dr. Bob Stern from Save Long Beach Island. And we are talking about, you know, a topic that many have thrown the words around about, you know, offshore wind energy. And Bob, why do you think it is that they decided to build so close to the shore? What do you say, 9 miles?
9 miles starting, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Why do you think that they chose that far in instead of, say, 30 or 40 miles off?
Well, it's a really good question, and it goes back to how the site was selected in the first place. It was done by a task force set up by the state. It was led by the New Jersey DEP, and it involved other agencies. They spoke to other agencies, and they came up with this site. But the interesting thing is that in the charge to that task force, they weren't told to look everywhere. They didn't have sort of a broad mandate to look at the whole ocean. They were told to just look at certain areas in South Jersey. I think it was sort of between Atlantic City and Island Heights, and they were also instructed not to look further out than 20 miles. Now, I do not know where those instructions came from or why they came, but that obviously placed significant restrictions on the effort. And that's basically the contention in our lawsuit, that whole process was not done correctly. It should have looked at a much broader area, and it should have looked at alternatives. It should have looked at further out alternatives, north, south, wherever. So there's a lot of mystery, in a way, to that selection process. And in a way, we're bearing now the results of that. We're having to deal now with what I think was a bad selection. I don't think it was a smart selection. And now, you know, 10 years later, we're in a way trying to correct that. That's how it got started. And it is, frankly, a little mysterious, but you know, you got to deal with what you have today.
And you were saying that now, you know, here we are at the Jersey Shore, and we're kind of we'll say bearing the brunt of having these turbines 9 miles offshore for power that isn't even going to benefit our region.
Well, that was the disturbing part of hearing that plan for sending the power elsewhere. And we have raised that concern now to the state, and we will see what happens. I noted recently, very recently, just a few days ago, that the Board of Public Utilities did not approve the transmission corridor to take that power to New York. So that was good news. Good news. But at the same time, they said it's not off the table. They may consider it in the future, and they've asked for plans from developers to do that. So that was a bit of good news, but also still, in our view, some bad news, because we don't believe, like you're saying, that it is appropriate to take the power from a site off New Jersey and run it up to New York. That makes absolutely no sense to us. And we will continue to try to elevate that issue and pursue that issue with the state and with the federal government.
Now, with this being, you know, we'll say a tough economy right now, the price of everything is going up. It, for something like this, okay, we want to obviously help the environment, wind energy, you know, it's a renewable resource, we'll say, that should help lower our electric bills because we're already spending so much on everything. I know recently there was a 60-minute documentary on wind energy, and one of the concerns that came up in that documentary was how the wind energy is affecting the bottom line as far as electric bills. Will anybody see a huge benefit from this?
As far as we can tell, absolutely not. And the Board of Public Utilities itself put out numbers when they approved the power purchase for this project, for one of these projects. And using those numbers, again, the state's own numbers, you can project a 10% increase in electric bills, residential electric bills, 15% increase in commercial rates, and I believe it was a 20% increase in industrial electric rates for the full program, for the full 7,500 megawatt program. And the reason for that is that offshore wind energy is quite a bit different than onshore wind energy and onshore solar energy, which are also renewables. Offshore wind energy is expensive, and you know it's not cheap or easy to construct these facilities and place them in the ocean, maintain them, operate them, and so on. So it's a very expensive renewable energy option. What sort of gets to me as an engineer and who worked at, I did in my former life work at the Federal Department of Energy, and we would always be looking at different energy sources because it is good to have diversity in your energy supply. You never know what area might be cut off or where there might be technological improvements. But in this particular case, there are so many other ways to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, which I think is what you want to do here, rather than go to offshore wind energy, which, again, is a very expensive way of doing it. So, you know, from my perspective, what I would have preferred to see is maybe some offshore wind energy, but I'd like to see more emphasis in other initiatives. There's lots of other things you can do that are much cheaper and much more effective in reducing greenhouse gases and actually, you know, helping a little with climate change than going to the most expensive option. So I'm a little puzzled with, you know, sort of this, call it obsession or focus on the offshore wind energy. I'd like to see a more balanced approach, but that's just me. But anyway, it is expensive. I don't see any way that electric bills can go down. And I believe even in that documentary, the people overseas were speaking to even much higher electric bill increases. I don't know the situation over there, but if I remember, they had a few of the residents saying that their bills had doubled. So I just looking at the costs here, I just don't see any way electric bills can go down. I don't understand those statements at all.
Now, with you know, here on Long Beach Island, we also have a thriving commercial fisherman fleet, we'll say.
Right.
You know, it's a big commercial fishing area, and I know that a lot of people have concern about this, and we're talking wind turbines 9 miles offshore. How much of an impact would that have on the commercial fishing industry?
Well, it's It's not my specialty. It would have some impact. I think this close-in area would have some impact on commercial. I think it has more impact on private recreational fishing, including charter boats, and people going out for recreational fishing. The other problem is interference with marine radars. My understanding is, and there was a recent report about this from the National Academy of Science, that the turbines will interfere with typical marine radar operations in terms of navigation, in terms of rescue, and so on. So I think for this particular project, I think there's more concern with just normal boating conditions and also with recreational and charter fishing. I don't think there's too much concern. I hope I'm not offending the fishermen here, but I don't think with this particular close-in project, I don't think there's too much commercial fishing involved.
Right. Well, I think that, no matter what we do offshore, I think it's going to affect everything as far as everything from, like you had said, with the change to the ecosystem, the change of the wind flow, a change of the temperatures,
right.
Which is all going to affect so many aspects of what we have here at the shore. And, I'm right there with you. We're all about clean energy and we want to save the environment, but sometimes there are much smarter ways to go about doing it.
I would say so. And I would be very cautious here because, like you're saying, the ocean, it's a sensitive place. for the fish and the whales that live in it, you got to be a little careful. You got to know what you're doing, and the pace of this and the scale of it concerns me. I think you're dealing with a lot of unknowns, like you say. I think a much more cautious, stepwise approach. Maybe you put out a pilot project and a demonstration project, and you take some measurements, and you find out, you make sure you know what you're doing and that you're not impacting fishing and whales and birds and so on. And if that turns out okay, then do more. If it turns out not okay, then do something else. But to me, going out with a grand proposal of, hundreds and thousands of wind turbines up and down the entire coast, and now also, I believe, over in Oregon and California and in the Gulf of Mexico, it just seems we're moving a little bit too fast, given the knowledge that we have on this. So I would just, if it was me, I would just go a little slower. I'd make sure that the sites are the best you can figure out. And I'd just be a little more careful and cautious here.
Now, if somebody wanted to get some more information about Save Long Beach Island, where can they go to find information?
I appreciate that. We have a website. It's savelbi.org. There's a wealth of information on there. There are PowerPoint presentations that we've given. There are podcasts and audios that we've done. And I would just advise folks, just there's a way to sign up. Just send us your email address. We'll put you on a list. We'll keep you up to date on what we're doing. For those who are concerned, like we are, with this particular project off LBI, we would ask for donations to support the lawsuits that we need to file. And again, I'd like to emphasize, we're not really happy about having to file lawsuits. I would much rather try to sit down with people across the table and try to work out, some reasonable solutions here. But right now, that doesn't seem like an easy thing to do. It seems like people are just sort of hell-bent on this particular project, despite, I think, what are obvious flaws in it. And so at this point, the only way we see to get a real fair hearing about this is in a court. I wish it were otherwise, but that's the situation right now. So we would welcome any and all donations to support those efforts.
And then one last question. If I had an organization, you know, maybe either at a senior community or my boating club or something like that, and I wanted someone to come out and speak about this issue, do you do, like, guest speaking engagements?
Absolutely. We would love to do that. No charge. No, it's free of charge. And the way to do that is in that email I mentioned. Go to the website, send us an email, and just put that in the email. Just say you'd like to have someone come out such and such time, and we will definitely make sure that someone comes out to speak to you, either myself or someone else on our board.
Excellent. And again, that website is savelbi.org. Our guest has been Dr. Bob Stern. Any closing remarks?
I think we covered it. I guess I would, in closing, just encourage people to get involved here, because I find it amazing that there are still lots of people that don't even know that these projects are coming, and people should get involved here, because you know this is not you know, the ocean is not does not belong to LBI. It's not my backyard. This is a public resource. You know, millions of people come to the LBI shore, to the ocean, and it belongs to them, and they have a stake in it. I don't care where they live, and they ought to pay attention to this and be involved in it. That would be my parting thought.
Well, obviously, it's definitely a case of knowledge is power, and there's great strength in numbers. So visit the website, savelbi.org, to get more information. Dr. Bob Stern, thank you so much for joining us on Jersey Shore Spotlight.
And thank you. Thank you.
And that concludes this week's edition of Jersey Shore Spotlight. If you have a group or organization and you would like to be in the spotlight on Jersey Shore Spotlight, send us an email at info@wbnj.org. That's info@wbnj.org. Visit WBNJ.org, click Contact Us, or call the studios at 609-660-2028 and tell us you'd like to be in the spotlight on Jersey Shore Spotlight. Jersey Shore Spotlight is a production of the WWN Educational Radio Corporation, a local not-for-profit corporation.